Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
BO92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
From the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we welcome you into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you, I guess it's officially Tuesday, right? Is it Tuesday? Yeah, it's officially Tuesday. A couple minutes into the new day. No, it's not a WWF tag team. Hanging out with you for the next couple of hours. We'll be here till 2 o'clock, and then, Amy Lawrence that comes up after us. Asking you to be a part of the show by downloading the Radio.com app. We know you're not in the vehicle as often, probably especially not right now at this time of night. So download the Radio.com app to make sure you catch us on the go. Download that on your device today. Take that smartphone, those Alexa speakers, that tablet that you've got, or that Commodore 64, or Swatch Watch, or Nikon camera, or Palm Pilot, or Light Bright. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something today to make sure that you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the platforms there. As always, the best way to be a part of this particular show, do it through our personal Twitter handles. Really appreciate all of the new folks jumping on Twitter. We've been having a lot of fun there lately with all the Atlanta sports going on, the good, the bad, the ugly of all of it. That would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is in Midtown. He is producing the show, keeping things going at the ranch. Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90. Well, game one, NLCS in the books. Braves take a 1-0 series lead after what was kind of a game that just kind of rolled along here this evening. I mean, Max Fried with the game one start versus Walker Buehler. Can't get a whole lot better than that when you're talking about, two of the best teams. Well, not two of. These are the two best teams in the National League and two of the best pitchers in the National League going head-to-head. Max Fried was nothing short of magnificent tonight. He was absolutely outstanding in his start. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run with 9 strikeouts to it. And, you know, he got into some high pitch counts. In fact, I think they said that his first inning pitch count was the highest it had been all year. But then he started really settling in, especially even that 6th inning. I mean, even in the 6th inning, he had really just kind of settled himself in and was nothing short of magnificent tonight. And, you know, his pitching just gave up the one mistake, gave up the one home run to Kiki Hernandez, and that was it, just that one pitch. And but, you know, that's one of the things about the Dodgers is that you can make one or two bad pitches and they can capitalize off it. And they did. But then the bats came alive. And, look, the Braves, you know, up until, what, the eighth inning, eighth or ninth inning, were 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position, you know. And that's obviously something that's got to change. I mean, and there's multiples of guys that had opportunities tonight to do some things. But anyway, Braves win 5-1. Bullpen comes through. They were magnificent as well. And listen, that's the formula for the Braves is, you know, if you can get a really good quality start from your, from, you know, your starting pitcher, but then leave it more to the back end of that bullpen. You know, Martin, Will Smith, Melanson. By the way, Will Smith got the win in the game tonight. But if you can leave it more to that back end of the bullpen, that's where the Braves' real strength is. When you get into this series, and we talked about it the other night, when you get into this series, you much more favor the Braves as you get into the later innings. And the Dodgers have some guys that can come in. You saw it tonight. They have some guys that come in and just throw gas and just, you know, be done with it. But if you get into, you know, some of the middle parts of the bullpen, both these teams, you know, will have some other issues at times. But, boy, you get in the Braves back into their bullpen, man, and they can get it done. They can absolutely find a way to get it done. So, you know, Braves offense came through with a mix of, you know, the long ball and, you know, with small ball. Now, Freddie Freeman got it started off in this game, home run. You know, home run first inning, Braves are up 1-0. And he hit a 97-mile-an-hour Walker Buehler fastball about as far as you could possibly hit it. And there is no question about the fact that, you know, in today's baseball, guys are going to home, you know, hit homers. I mean, no doubt about it. But there's definitely plenty of balls that in some of these other ballparks would have been out. You know, Freddie hit a ball in center field that if it was 10-run field or Truist Park would have probably been out. So there's going to be some loud outs in this series. There'll be enough home runs. These two teams didn't hammer and egger their way, you know, to just, you know, button their way around, you know, with run. These two teams hit like 220 homers or some kind of crazy number like that. So there's gonna be some bombs. I mean, it's not gonna be, you know, completely bombs away. You're not gonna maybe see, you know, 5 or 6 home runs, but you're gonna see enough home runs, you know, in this series because that's what these teams do. They will take somebody's bad pitch and they'll hit it a long, long way. I thought one of the other keys tonight that you know, really wasn't talked about is, you know, it's the fact that they were able to keep Mookie Betts off the bases tonight. And that may sound like a small thing, but a guy like that at the top of their order that can do everything, and he hits for high average, he can hit for power, he can steal bases. You know, when he gets on, he starts to get that engine running with the Dodgers, and he didn't do anything tonight. You know, Betts didn't get anything going tonight, and I thought that was a real key. He was 0 for 4 in that game tonight. Thought that was a real key about how to slow down the Dodgers. You know, get the, you know, make sure that top of the order doesn't start to, you know, kill you. And that starts with Betts. So keeping him off the bases, man, that is such a difference maker in that lineup for the Dodgers. And it paid dividends as only the one run on the Kiki Hernandez home run. So Braves win it 5-1 in what was a magnificent performance for Max Fried all the way around. All the way around. And listen, this is what. What did I say for so many months and for so long? And it's just funny. You know, I battled and battled and battled so many people, whether it's text line, whether it's Twitter, you know, whatever, about expectations. I mean, when you watch this team, and I've said all year and I've said in the offseason, there's nothing about the Braves that says they can't win the World Series. And it would drive me crazy about, well, let's just get to the playoffs. Why do I don't understand what people just are so fearful and hesitant of at times. They have a magnificent roster. They are immensely talented, and I've said it over and over and over again. You see it. You see how talented this group of guys is. And as I've always said, if they lose, you know, they lose this series or the World Series or whatever, if they lose, it won't be because they don't have enough talent. This isn't 1991 and they've overcome a lot and they've just kind of worked their way in and they've overachieved. No, this isn't Sid Bream and Rafael Belliard and all that. This is Ronald, Ozzy, Freddie, Ozuna, Riley. This is all those guys. Freed, you know. I mean, Ian. This is all these guys. That's why they went and spent $55 million in the back end of their bullpen to make sure that they could shut guys down as the game moved along and you get into, you know, the later innings of the game. So we'll talk more about this game when we get back from the break and break it down even a little bit more. Well, obviously, the big news over the weekend, too, you know, was the Atlanta Falcons. And obviously not just the loss to the Carolina Panthers, which to me was kind of embarrassing. You realize that the Panthers are 3-2 right now. The Panthers, who should be last in the division, they're 3-2 right now. And they didn't have that dude playing yesterday. You know, that dude, that guy that plays running back out there. So, and we'll play this clip coming up at 12:40, I guess. We'll kind of revisit back to Friday night. And I talked specifically about this. And just there was something that I had, you know, just a spidey sense about the fact that, you know, it would be tough to keep the excuse making going for this team. At not just, it's not just the 0-5. You have to look at the circumstances of it. It's not just 0-5. It's 3 home losses. Well, you're only going to get 8 home games, and you know at best you can only be 5-3. So it's going to be tough to be a playoff team if you're only 5-3 at home. Okay, I mean, it wouldn't be impossible, but the idea that they were going to rattle off 5 straight home wins. They also have 5 conference losses. So you talk about every imaginable tiebreaker possible. 5 conference losses and a division loss. You talk about every possible tiebreaker known to man, and you're losing all of them. I don't care what the expanded playoff says, you know, because the more you get down in those watered-down teams, the more that these, you know, these tiebreakers and things like that come into play. And the Falcons wouldn't have any of them. Wouldn't have any of them. And so when you took a look at all that and the fact that you look around and say, okay, well, the Bucs lost, that brought them back to 3-2. You know, now Carolina wins. They're 3-2 with a rookie head coach, and with all due respect, Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. Okay, something had to be done. Now, I am a little bit surprised, and we'll get more into this. And we're going to have a whole segment dedicated to just Arthur and Rich in the press conference. I did not, I'll be honest with you, I did not get a chance to hear. I had a lot going on today, and did not get a chance to hear the press conference, so I'm interested to hear the ask, you know, how we'll do. We'll break down all the answers, you know, as we hear them. And I remember the last time that we went through this and had to listen to that press conference, which was still one of the strangest things. I am a little bit surprised they fired Thomas Dimitroff right now. Now, it's the right move. I'm just surprised at the timing of that. I'm not surprised at the timing of Dan, but I am surprised at the firing of Thomas for right now. I think he just promote a interim head coach, and I thought that just kind of roll along as is and just get through this season. But Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn, and we broke this down. Did we not just a few weeks ago break this down? That if you look at the first 7 first and second round draft picks that Thomas and Dan had in this, you know, regime with these two, only maybe 2 of those guys are going to get a second contract. That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing when you're talking about only 2 of your – you have 7 first and second round draft picks, and only 2 of those guys are looking at a second contract. I'm not talking about franchise player and things like that. And we're not talking about not getting a second contract because they're just going to cost too much money and they're going to be priced out of the Falcons' budget and things like that. They're not getting second contracts because they're not good enough players to get second contracts, at least not with this organization. Maybe somebody will roll the dice, you know, for a year on this guy, a year on that guy. You know, they rolled, you know, Tennessee rolled the dice for a year on Vic Beasley. How's that working out for him? Jalen Collins is not even in the league anymore. So there was a lot of decision making like that. So we'll get in depth into the Falcons part of it as well, and what's going on there. We'll kind of break that all down. But when we come back, let's take a look back at the good from last night as the Braves are winners. 5-1, game one of the National League Championship Series. We'll break it all down for you next. Chuck Richo, hanging out for you here till 2 o'clock. Sports Radio, Nap Time the Game, and on the radio.com app. Back at it on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuck Richo with you here early morning Tuesday. Headed to 2 o'clock. We'll give it to Amy Lawrence at that point. Of course, the morning show will be coming up a little bit later on for your listening pleasure. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. As Braves win, Braves win, Braves win. Also, to Solomon Brothers, radio.com app is how you listen to us when you're on the go. Social media, 99 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Well, as we said, Braves take care of the Dodgers in game one of this series, 5-1. Max Fried was magnificent. Let's get the bad out of the way first. Adam Duvall had a, in his first at bat, just went wrong and ends up with a strained oblique. And, you know, they interviewed Brian Snitker during the game. I want to say it was like maybe like the third inning or something like that or something, whatever it was. You know, they did one of those in-game interviews. And he said, yeah, I hadn't heard from the trainer, but it looked as bad as it could be. And so speculation is that they'll have to find somebody else to take Duvall's spot. Remember, the crazy thing about this NLCS, there are no games off. So you're going to go seven straight days of baseball. So if you play seven games, it's going to be done in 7 days. There are no travel days. There's no off day. Now, the World Series actually has off days built in, even though they're in the bubble and everybody's going to stay there. World Series does have off days built into it. But in the Championship Series, there are no off days. So you go seven straight days of baseball. So Adam Duvall most likely not going to be able to come back. So they will put somebody on the roster. The early rumor and innuendo, as we like to say in the wrestling podcast world, is that Ender Inciarte will be the pick for it. So, hate it for Duvall. It sucks that this happened to him. Now, I do anticipate when you look at tonight's matchup, because we are into Tuesday already. With Kershaw going, I'm guessing that Nick Markakis will not play, and that Pache will get the start as well. I'm guessing if it's Ender, I mean, am I to assume that you have, is it Pache, Ender? Well, of course, they could play Markakis. I mean, that will be interesting to see is, do they play Markakis against the left-hander? Do they let him, with Duvall out, do they have him hitting against the left-hander? Because Pache should get one of those starts in the outfield, but you know, you're saying now, well, you know, take your young talented guy and let him have a chance to play. Why would we do all that crazy stuff? But anyway, but hate it for Adam Duvall. I mean, that just kind of sucks, and certainly it's one more big bat that's out of the lineup for the Atlanta Braves. Out of all of it, but obviously Max Fried tonight was magnificent. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts, and it felt like he got stronger as the game moved along. And you know, remember last start against the Marlins in that National League Division Series, you know, was not very good. It was not a very good start for Max, and you know, the offense had to come back and bail him out in that 9-5 game. In fact, I think he gave up four runs total in that game. So for him to bounce back like this was huge. He was just as good as could be. Certainly, you know, Freddie getting off early, getting that early 1-0 lead. And you know, you look at a guy like Austin Riley who hit the, you know, go-ahead home run late in the game. You know, you look at that play and, you know, we've kind of joked before, but, you know, Austin Riley is the absolute 2020 type of baseball player. You know, he came into that at-bat that he had, I think he had 10 strikeouts and 20 postseason at-bats, okay? But, you know, that's the trade-off for the guy. You know, in today's baseball, the trade-off is, yeah, he's going to strike out a whole bunch, and it's going to be, you know, a lot of outs without contact. So if you're talking about moving runners along, fly ball to drive a guy in, okay, there's going to be a lot of outs without any kind of contact with it. But the flip side of that coin is when he gets a hold of one, it goes a long way, and it doesn't leave a whole lot of doubt. And that's the, you know, the yin and the yang, as I like to say, of guys like Riley is they're the ultimate 20-20 types of baseball players. Home run, strike out. And so you're not going to have him move runners along. He's not going to drive in a lot of, you know, sack flies and things like that. But when he gets his bat on one and he makes connection with it, it's going to go a long way. And you saw that. And, you know, hits the big home run. And then, of course, Acuna gets on. He comes in. Ozuna drives him in. And then Ozzy hits the home run. And, you know, off they go when it's 5-1 Atlanta. And funny, too, the moment where on Ozzy's home run that he hit out to the bullpen, Mark Melancon was warming up. And Melancon actually caught the home run ball. As he was warming up, he looked up, and all of a sudden there was a ball coming at him, and he stuck the glove up and caught it, and there you go. Got himself a souvenir for all of it. Now, they did have real fans in the stands, by the way, in this game. Almost 11,000 people. It was like 10,800, somewhere around in that range. So remember, there are actual fans. It's not the, you know, it's not the virtual fans and the cardboard cutouts or the Zoom, although they did have plenty of that. They did have plenty of the Zoom that was, you know, on there with, you know, the celebrations and stuff like that. But they actually do have real fans in the stadium, almost 11,000 people. I don't know if that's going to be every single game as far as that number or if they're going to increase it at all. You know, let's say if we get to games like 5, 6, 7, which could be, you know, game-clinching games, if they're going to expand the crowd, because they did sell every ticket that they had available. So they were offering up almost 11,000 tickets, and they sold everything that they had available. So I've not seen, I don't know if, uh-oh, what happened there, Jarvis? We do want you to vote. Yeah, we do want you to vote out there. But no, they, I have not seen if they're going to have more fans. As let's say if it's game 7, would they expand it a little bit more to have some more people in the stadium? But certainly it was nice to have 11,000 people there at the game for all of this. Obviously the Braves bullpen too. You know, you look at the job that they did coming in after Fried and just picking right up with him. Martin was an inning with a strikeout. Smith was an inning with a strikeout. Melancon was an inning. So 3 innings, no hits, 2 strikeouts for the Braves bullpen. And that's the thing is if they can get into the back end of this bullpen, that's where the Braves' real strength, you know, becomes with it. So Ian Anderson will get the ball. It'll be Ian Anderson and Clayton Kershaw. How about that matchup for tomorrow in this game too? And you know, I don't know. You know, do you say the pressure is on or off? Because yeah, the Dodgers are the home team, but nobody's traveling anywhere. You know, nobody's going anywhere. You know, maybe the Dodgers are at a disadvantage now because, you know, they burned out a lot of their bullpen and it's not very good and not as deep. And the Braves are much better and deeper, I think, in their bullpen. And there's no off days. So maybe there's some additional advantage for the Braves. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not sure how to handicap that when you're talking about 7 games in 7 days like that. You know, normally in a series like this, it's like, okay, Braves now have the definite advantage because they picked up a road win and the Dodgers are going to have to come back to their place. But remember, the Dodgers played their series against the Padres in this same stadium. So it's not like they hadn't gotten, you know, somewhat accustomed. You know, they played 3 games, you know, albeit 3 games, but still they played 3 games in that stadium and learned a little bit about it. You know, I thought one of the kind of underrated plays that Betts made was when he held Darnold to a single, even though, you know, Darnold hit a ball down the line and in the corner, Betts did a really good job of playing that ball to where Darnold only had a single, you know, and that turned out to be, you know, a key thing just in that inning because the Braves did not score, even though they had I think they left them loaded. That's the inning they left them loaded. So nice to see Christian Pache get in. He drew a couple of walks. He's a very good defensive outfielder. You saw some balls that were hit directly at him that he did a really nice job of you know, lining that thing up and, you know, and playing some really stellar defense. You know, him in center and Ronald Acuna in right, that's a pretty stout twosome right there when you talk about defensive outfielders for all of it. And, you know, listen, Marcell Ozuna was terrific tonight. Of course, he had one of the big hits. He was 2-for-5 with a run and an RBI as well. Ozzie was 2-for-5 with a run and a couple of RBIs. Of course, had the home run in the ninth inning, him and Riley. And there was some stat that was like, they're like the first 23-year-olds to hit home runs in the ninth inning of a playoff game like that, and however many decades or years or whatever like that. So there's all those little fun stats that you have with the Braves. So Acuna, by the way, 1-for-5. He did score a run tonight. Freddie was 1-for-4 with a run, an RBI, and a walk. Darno was 1-for-4. As well with a walk in this game. What was Markakis? Let me see what he was. Oh, ooh, yeah, ooh, not so good. Anyway, so game two tomorrow night, Clayton Kershaw, Ian Anderson, and certainly there was a stat that was, what was it, about 77% of baseball playoff teams that win game one win the series. We talked the other night about the fact that the Dodgers were an overwhelming favorite. But, you know, as I keep going back to, there's nothing about the Braves that says they can't win the World Series. There's nothing about the Braves that says that they're not talented enough or not good enough or what have you to win the World Series. They're every bit as talented as any team in Major League Baseball. They got lots of players. I mean, listen, absolutely, that they can win this whole thing. And that's why I said, that's why I used to get so frustrated, you know, from some people. But I'm like, look, there's nothing about the Braves that says they can't win the World Series. This is what they've built this team for. Best first baseman, one of the best second basemen, underrated shortstop, you know, terrific frontline starting pitching, tons of cash spent on the back end of their bullpen, the best young player in baseball. You know, they've put this together for this reason. And this is, you know, what it's all come to now is capitalize on it. Capitalize on this. So Braves, you know, in the driver's seat at least, you know, series 1-0. Like I said, it's a little bit weird because, you know, normally you'd have the home field advantage and, you know, they'd have to come back to Truist and all that. But, you know, they'll be staying right there. And the Dodgers have, you know, more games played. That was the Braves' first game in that stadium because they were in Houston in 10-run field to take on the Marlins in that series and coming over to Texas with all of it. By the way, did we get the announcement? Jarvis, did we get the announcement what time tomorrow's game is? Because that was a whole other hullabaloo, too, is not knowing what time game two is. Do we know what time that is? Because I did not hear if they're another 8 o'clock game or if the and they may be the 8 o'clock. I would think that I can't imagine that they're not the 8 o'clock game with Kershaw and Ian Anderson going. Because the Rays are up, what, 2-0 in that series. My Houston Astros are stinking it up thus far. So you would think that Astros-Rays, with all due respect, it's not the sexiest matchup. They're at 6:05 tomorrow? Man, that seems like a lame start time. They should be, wow, 6:05 each of the next two nights. Okay, all right. And those games are on Fox, Jarvis? Are they the Fox games? Mm-hmm. I was going to say FS1 would be, I think, the primetime game with it being Fox night, but I think the other games switch over to FS1. So luckily, you don't have to have 15 different channels to try to figure out where the Braves are going to be playing. So 6:05 on FS1 tomorrow night, game two of the NLCS. All right, when we get back, let's talk about how we got here with the Atlanta Falcons. It's all next, Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on this early Tuesday morning, Sports Radio 910 The Game on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here on this early Tuesday morning. 404-741. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Leave us a comment there. A few folks chiming in already here. Radio.com app is how you listen to the radio station when you're on the go. Social media, 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMSage316. And, of course, he's at JarvisD90. Well, the Atlanta Falcons finally made the move, and it was announced late on Sunday that the Falcons were moving on from head coach Dan Quinn and general manager Thomas Dimitroff. Now, coming up at the top of the hour, we will we're going to play several clips from the press conference today, kind of read and react to them. I did not get a chance to hear the press conference today, so. Or yesterday, I guess, at this point. I mean, I get my days all confused here. But we'll play clips from the press conference, and we will react to what was said by Tom or by Rich and Arthur today. So, you know, how we got here. Well, you know, this has certainly been a while coming. And, you know, I don't know what kind of questions were asked, you know, of Arthur, but If Arthur has to go through this again, I do think that he will not have the same type of patience with his coach that he'd had with Dan. Because there was really, frankly, no reason to bring Dan back at the start of the year. And we talked a lot about this. And, you know, was I surprised that they fired Dan? No. Was I surprised they fired Thomas right now? Yes. Should they have let Dan go in the offseason? Yeah, I think we kind of said that there was not really a reason to move forward with Dan, that if you thought 6-2 is great, you can't just – and look, that's the reality of it, is that you can't just put the 6-2 into a bubble and isolate it and say things out there. So was I surprised? No. You know, was I surprised the Falcons lost? No. I think that's kind of where we're at right now. Now, I want you to, you know, let's just go back very quickly. And, you know, we kind of said that this could happen. Let's go back to Friday night in our 720 segment before we had a chance to talk to D-Led. I brought up the idea that, and the reasons why, that this could be a real reality. That's why I say, if you told me that at, you know, if they lost this game on Sunday, I could very much see a change happening Monday. Now, I could very much see Sunday night into Monday that there is a change at this point. But this game, I really do think, could be the swing game as to whether or not they decide to move forward the rest of the season with Dan Quinn or they decide to make a change. Because this is a team you're supposed to beat. This is a team that you're better than. Injuries or anything aside, they still are the better team in this situation, and they need to find a way to get this thing done. And certainly the Falcons had a lot more of their personnel back. You know, yes, I know that they didn't have Julio and things like that, but they didn't have Christian McCaffrey. So there was still plenty of personnel on the field. But it's like I said the other night, Falcons 0-3, you know, 0-5, there's zero chance to make the playoffs. No team has ever started 0-5 and made the playoffs. So there's zero chance of that. But you're 0-3 on your home field. You're 0-1 in the division against what should be the quote-unquote worst team in the division. You're 0-5 in the conference. So even if you did go on a run, you literally would have no tiebreakers to try to separate yourself from anybody else. And, you know, I joked on Twitter about the fact that this is Coughlin's Law. You know, nothing ends well or it wouldn't end. And this is kind of where it's at. So, you know, this is not a knee-jerk reaction. This has been building. And you know, unfortunately, I hope people see a few things now. You know, I've talked for years, not days, not weeks and months, talked for years about the fact that, well, that's not really Dan's defense in Seattle. That was all Pete Carroll. Yeah, it wasn't Gus Bradley's defense either. That was Pete Carroll's defense. And talked about in 2016, why were we in the Super Bowl? Because when your quarterback has one of those kinds of years, we broke down all the numbers and stats and things like that. When your quarterback plays out of his mind and has an MVP season, in NFL history, you're going to go a long way in the playoffs. You know, most of the time when the quarterback wins the MVP, they spend that season either in the conference championship game or in the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl. It's usually where it ends, whether it's Rich Gannon, whether it's Brett Favre, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan. Go look at the MVP quarterbacks. And we broke it down starting in 1979 with Terry Bradshaw. When guys win the MVP at that position, that team plays for a long time. And it wasn't like Dan coached up the defense that year. It wasn't like that they were a great defensive team. They had a combination of their offense and their quarterback played out of his mind, and they had a guy that went off on sacking the quarterback. And I continue to say, you know, if you can run the ball in short yardage, if you can sack the other team's quarterback, you won't lose very often. And those are things that one is right now, the Falcons don't run it enough. I mean, as bad as Matt Ryan's throw was, and that throw was horrible. That was a dreadful throw in the back of the end zone. I don't know why he threw it. Don't know. I mean, if his goal was to complete the pass to Carolina, then it was a perfect throw. But otherwise, the receiver had no chance on that play. That play had zero chance of anything being successful about it. But go back. Why not run the football? They were running the football so effectively and moving it down there. Why not continue? Even if you want to say that it's four down territory, fine. They were at the, what, 4 or 5 yard line? Run it twice. Run it up in there and go score. But see, that's, you know, so, yeah, Matt's play was terrible. But the thought process of how we got there, why were we in that situation? Why did we drop back to pass in a situation where we had been pushing them around and running the football effectively? And in all honesty, you know, I hear all this lip service about we want to be a running team and establish the run, and then they just give it lip service. Then the game comes along, and the offensive coordinator won't do it. And I understand when you have Julio and Ridley and Gage and Hurst and all those guys and Matt, I understand there's that knee-jerk reaction. But see, this is the difference about winning football. This is the difference about, you know, well, you know, we should have all these guys versus, well, what's winning football? Oh, there's 6 minutes to go in the game? Let's run the football. Oh, we're picking up 5 and 6 yards a clip in the run game? Let's run the football. You know, it doesn't have to be Matt and Julio have to go win every game for this team. It's not what it has to be. And Todd Gurley had one of his best performances in years. That's one of the best performances a Falcons running back has had in years, you know, out there. But when it got into high leverage, this is why we're here. The coaching staff went down. And what did we talk about last week? Accountability, accountability. That's all I heard. I heard Archer, and I heard this guy, and I heard that guy. Well, they got to be accountable. All right. Well, 26 started, and he got toasted. Was he benched after that? No. You know, and the other thing that I saw on Twitter, somebody tagged me on a tweet. I saw Keanu Neal, and I'm sure there are probably others, but Keanu Neal said, you know, how hurt he was and all that, and he says, fans or something just don't understand. No, we understand completely. With all due respect, Keanu, you know, you don't want to believe the fact that your guy can't coach. He may be a great motivator. He may inspire you. He may have his brotherhood, but he can't coach. And there is a difference. You know, Keanu's looking at it as a fact of, you know, man, you know, he's such a good guy, and he's a mentor, and, you know, he's helping me in life, or he's this, or he's man. Yeah, I understand that. But on Sunday, we watched the net results. And I'm not saying that they're not trying or they don't want to win. Of course, I know they want to win. But when the guy on the sideline isn't doing it, I mean, again, go back, look, still timeout management and crazy stuff going on. I still couldn't figure out how we're using timeouts and things like that. It's the same pattern over and over. And you get into that habit where the same thing happens all the time. If you keep running 26 out there against NFL wide receivers, he's going to get toasted for big plays because the guys on the other sideline that also get paid millions of dollars are going to exploit it. That's what they're paid to do. They're paid to win football games. And yeah, it's great that Matt takes accountability and all that, but what does it mean? What does it mean? If I trot out the, if I put the same owner in the box and the same general manager up in the box, and I put all the same coaches on the sidelines, and I have all the same players and all the same guys start for me every week, why is anything going to be different? Because we luck our way into something, or we run into a team that's worse than what we are? Because that's what you're asking me at that point. It's not, when you watched that football game yesterday, or Sunday at this point, when you watched that game on Sunday, did the Carolina Panthers adjust to what the Falcons were doing? Did they make moves? Did they adjust? Did they adjust their offense? Did they adjust their defense? Of course they did. You can see it by the results. So I keep asking, every week we come in here, okay, who looked like the better coached football team on the field that day? Not the most talented team. Not who was the more talented team. Not who had more superstar players. But who looked like they were better coached. It certainly hasn't been our team. And of course guys like, you know, 26 love Dan and want Dan to be here. Hell, I would love it too if nobody's going to hold me accountable. If I'll get paid millions of dollars to continue to not play well and have no repercussions to my playing time. I'd take that all day long, wouldn't you? All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, we will hear from Arthur and Rich today as they, gave us their State of the Union about where do we stand on the Falcons. We'll hear clips of that next. It is John Chuckwood Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game on the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.